a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Utah Weekly Forum, a public affairs show dedicated to learning more about the issues affecting our lives and health and exploring the resources available in our diverse communities to help. Here's your host, Rebecca Kressman.
Welcome to Utah Weekly Forum, and it's wonderful today to be able to talk about some of the advanced research and on health today. We're going to talk about the HERETAgene, the population study, as it's been mapping DNA and associating that with our health. So joining us today is Jason Gilman. He's the Precision Health Operations Director with HERETAgene. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So even as I, you know, seek to try to explain what HERETAgene is, can you give us the big picture?
Certainly. So HERETAgene is a population health study that we launched a few years ago now in Intermountain Healthcare, where we are enrolling patients into a study that we take some of their blood and do a whole genome sequencing. So we essentially look at the entirety of their DNA and with their associated health record. So that way we can make new discoveries or even identify diseases and areas of concern now. But it's also a forward-looking type of study to where we're looking for, areas within the DNA that put people at potential higher risk for things like cancers or hypercholesterolemia or other types of diseases that we know have a genetic link, but also we're discovering new DNA or links to genetics and disease. So it's kind of a twofold idea.
So if I just use myself as an example, if you have my health record and then you have my DNA that's been gathered, you can start to look for kind of associations and say, this woman had breast cancer. Let's check to see whether or not there's any kind of mutation that might be responsible for that. Either one that's already been found, like the BRCA1 and BRCA2 or the check, or let's see whether there's something that just hasn't been found yet. So you kind of just match that record to what the different DNA image is for each patient?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are looking at past the history. So if you had a history of breast cancer, then what was the outcome? There might be something telling within the DNA. And one of the cool things that we can do is we take this concept, because it's such a big study, is that it's not a individual anymore. We're looking at groups and cohorts. So there might be 20 or 30 people that had a very similar outcome of a breast cancer that you might have experienced. And we can compare what was different about this group that did better than this group, or why did this group of individuals survive versus these that didn't survive? The potential is endless within comparing what is our health and how does our DNA impact those outcomes and how does it predict? So, we can do both.
It sounds very, very powerful. And of course, as soon as I heard about the HERETAgene study about a year and a half ago, I went to a local Intermountain healthcare lab and said, take my blood. I'm very curious to see what else I could be vulnerable to, or maybe my own health history can help someone down the road as you continue researching. And I wanted to talk about that because since October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, when we talk about helping someone down the road, isn't it true that there was a patient, I think she was in the St. George area, that had enrolled in the HERETAgene study, and she was alerted that she was carrying DNA mutation that would put her at higher risk?
Yeah. So Maddie, she's a local a woman that enrolled, very young, early 20s, I think. I don't even think she's 25 yet.
Wow.
And we discovered a mutation related to breast cancer. I can't remember if it was BRCA1 or BRCA2, but it does increase her risk between 60 to 80% over her lifetime of developing breast cancers. Breast and ovarian cancer, actually. It's both.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just breast cancers. So what that does, though, is because we discovered that so early within her life, is that now we have a map for her over the next 20, 30, and even 40 years of how we can prevent early detection, the other measures that we can take with Maddie in order for her to prevent breast cancer.
Right.
So in the short term, probably not a lot to do other than continuous screenings every 6 months, every year, making sure that she's healthy. And then as she progresses in age and that risk increases, then we have more interventions to help her prevent breast cancer.
Well, and one of the interventions that was just launched by Intermountain is called an abbreviated MRI. And that abbreviated MRI uses the traditional magnetic resonance imaging machines that are in the hospitals, but focuses only on the breast area. And it gives increased sensitivity to be able to identify early cancers. So women who are at higher risk of breast cancer, like Maddie that you're describing, she now has an additional tool that can be used in her screening process if that's what she and her healthcare providers decide. So, yeah, it is very powerful when it comes to saving lives, having that information early. How many people have participated so far in the Heredigene population study?
So we are over 150,000 participants so far. We're hoping to add another 100,000 over the next 15 months. So we'd be at about 250,000 people over the course of the study.
And while we talked a moment ago about breast cancer, what else have you learned through the Heredigene study?
Yeah, so we're detecting things that are fairly common within the population. So hypercholesterolemia, which is an increase in patients that naturally develop higher cholesterol than other patients. And there's also a blood disorder where patients or people, they have too much iron. And it can actually lead to liver cancers. I can't remember the exact name of the disease. It's my Latin's getting weaker the older I get. But it has a very archaic type of intervention where we just let out a pint of blood once a month that helps reduce that iron within the blood. We've also detected some novel things. We were part of a larger study with the data that we have of detecting genes that are associated with vertigo. Which was a pretty groundbreaking idea because vertigo is one of those things that as it presents, as a patient experiences symptoms, they might think they're having a stroke, they're dizzy, there's all kinds of issues. So they naturally go to the ER. What we've determined is actually there's a set of genes that people have where they're susceptible to vertigo, and they don't need to be going to the ER. Well, we have other interventions that will help them. So they don't have to go to the ER and go through the entire stroke protocol and rack up, $20,000 worth of bills. Instead, we've detected these genes. We know that you have them. Your treatment is to, stay in a dark room for a couple of days, rest, water, lots of fluids, and it'll pass. So there's other discoveries that are coming as well. The intention of the Heredigene is to look across the spectrum of life. Across a diverse, biologically diverse population, which will help us discover even more of these types of things.
Well, when you share that groundbreaking discovery that there is a genetic basis that could be leading to all these vertigo cases, and it's quite popular, right? I mean, or common for people to experience mm-hmm. vertigo. If someone has participated in the Heredigene study, how are they alerted that they might have that genetic tendency to develop vertigo? How does that process work?
So we have a team of genetic counselors and medical geneticists that review the data as it comes back in. If a patient has a pathogenic or likely pathogenic genes, something that could be causing harm or potential for disease, then that's reviewed. We do a confirmation testing. We have a laboratory down here in St. George. We do confirmation testing for the genes to make sure that they're real. Because you always want always want a second opinion.
Sure.
And then we notify the patient through our genetic counseling processes. Now, patients need to elect to be contacted. A lot of patients decide, you know what, take my blood, do my DNA, here's my health record, but I don't want to know. Because if I'm early onset for Alzheimer's, I don't want to worry about it because there's no intervention. But a vast majority of our patients elect to, if they have something that is pathogenic or likely pathogenic, then we contact them through that process.
Well, and you mentioned genetic counselors. That might be new for some of us. Does a genetic counselor just specialize in helping us have those conversations about what the DNA is telling us about our health and the potential future for ourselves?
Yeah. So genetic counselors, they definitely specialize in genetics, and they're looking at, different specialty areas. So I have three different types of genetic counselors. We have oncology, we have maternal fetal medicine, and then we have cardiac, so cardiology genetic counselors. Each one of them specializes in a different set of diseases and genetic connections. They're fantastic in guiding patients because, as you can understand, some of these things have some pretty life-altering decisions that need to be made. A woman that's diagnosed in her 20s with BRCA1 or BRCA2, 60 to 80% increase over the lifespan of developing breast cancer. Some women elect to do life-altering types of interventions, up to mastectomies and hysterectomies, and so we need to have specialized individuals that can help these patients through these processes to understand what this actually means. Risk doesn't mean certainty, but it definitely, we need to be watching, preventing, and intervening when we need to.
Right. And, I'm a part of a couple of support groups that include some of these young women. And it's about, I think, 9% of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer are under the age of 40. So it used to always be that we'd say, hey, if you're over 40, that's when you need to watch for it. But we still have a percentage of women who will develop breast cancer before the age of 40. So it's more rare that it happens. But when the genetics are pointing in that direction, then that's more, it's scary. It is scary to get that kind of information for a woman, but it also provides her information that could be and will be life-saving. For those who've just joined us, we're talking to Jason Gilman. He's the Precision Health Operations Director with Intermountain. We're talking about the Hereditagene population study and how already information that has been gathered from this is informing some of the patients that they have genetic mutations that might put them at higher risk of vertigo or might put them at higher risk of, did you say higher cholesterol? Is that right?
Yeah, hypercholesterolemia. It can be it's a genetic disorder where we develop too much cholesterol within our blood.
Which is, it's just such a surprise to me that that has a genetic, foundation behind it. But again, if you have that information, then I have to take intervention, or I have the choice to make different steps in my healthcare and the way I eat and live my life to have the healthiest and longest life possible. So is Intermountain partnering with others around the world in this population study?
Yeah, so our partner is Decode Genetics, but it's Decode. They're in Reykjavik, Iceland. And Kari, I can't remember Kari's last name, but Kari is the director there, is well known within the genetics community for population health studies. So they sequenced nearly everybody in Iceland as part of their portion of Decode. And then, of course, we're doing this study here in Utah and southern Idaho.
And is there a reason is there a reason why Utah and Idaho DNA is being used?
Well, partially because that's where Intermountain Healthcare is. The other thing is that it is somewhat of a homogenous population where there's not a lot of biodiversity, which sounds counter to what we'd want within a larger genetic study, but that actually helps us when we're looking for like subsets of populations if it's a little more homogenous. Now, we need to be looking at genetics across the spectrum of races and other populations, but it made sense to compare these data that we're gathering with the Decode data, which is also very homogenous within the country of Iceland. DECODE is backed, this whole project is backed by a pharmaceutical company named Amgen. That's where the driver of the funding comes from. Yeah, it was very intentional of having Utah and Southern Idaho. And then we are actually branching out. We'd like to take the study into Nevada, where we have our new healthcare partners in Nevada. And then also Intermountain acquired some hospitals in the Denver, Montana, those states. So we'll expand into those when we can.
So what happens as you continue to add more and more individuals to the population study? What does that give researchers?
Some of the diseases that we're looking at are very rare. One person in 100,000, one person in, even 50,000. When we expand out and have a large swath, then we're able to detect patterns within the DNA, within the biology, even when they're very rare. Because if we can capture these individuals, that sounds very terrible, but we can find individuals with specific and rare disease and compare them to other people with the same thing, so then we can determine interventions, preventions, and treatments. So it's important to be big for now. I think the next phases of Heredogene are going to be disease specific. I think you're going to start seeing a drilling down in cardiology or neurology, even in oncology, where we have a lot of DNA information anyway, but we will start to drill down even further, include more people, and then have a broader look at what the disease is, how it's happening, and why.
Now, this might sound like a kind of a generic question, Jason, but why would a healthcare or hospital organization be motivated to participate in a population study like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the reason Intermountain was interested in doing this is because it's the right thing to do. We know that DNA and genetics is a driver and a predictor of way more things within our lifespan than we actually know right now. One of my leaders, David Jones, who's one of our chief science officers, would tell you, so statistically, about 80% of cancer is environmentally caused, and only about 20 or less percent is genetically caused. Dave Jones would argue the opposite. He would say that all cancer is genetically caused because it's our DNA repair. It's our ability for our DNA to repair itself over time that is the predictor of cancer. If we have lower DNA repair, if our DNA doesn't repair as well as others, then we have higher risk. That's not been proven in the literature and through the science yet, because we're just scratching the surface. So we think that this will be a driver of healthcare moving forward. So it's the right thing to do, but it's better for patients. If we can predict and we can prevent, that's always a better outcome for patients. And then in long term, it's a healthcare savings. People will not need to do these interventions like I talked about with vertigo. You don't need to go into the ER. Like we can save that money for the patients and for the healthcare system. So trying to drive costs down. So higher, better quality care or lower cost.
Right. And more information in the hands of patients as well, which to me, to some people, it might be add some anxiety and fear. For me, it's quite empowering to have that information. And it's interesting that you were just having a conversation about the DNA repairing itself, because I remember sitting right across from an oncology radiologist, and we were talking about me being at greater risk, right, for this breast cancer to possibly return. And, whether or not, how much radiation I should receive based on that. And I remember leaning forward and saying, but what we don't know yet, whether genetically I am at higher risk of my body not being able to fight this breast cancer off. Or I'm not using the correct terminology, but I said, we don't know yet how much of my immune system is influenced by genetics. And because my mother had passed away from breast cancer and my grandmother. And he said, you're right. That is a question we haven't answered yet. And yet the Heredogene study may give us those kind of answers. That's very powerful, Jason.
It is. It's incredibly powerful. And you're right. It's incredible of the amount of information that we have and the amount of information we still need.
For those who've just joined us, this is Jason Gilman. He's the Precision Health Operations Director. As we talk about the Heretogene population study and some of its already the impact that it's having on those who are participating in the study. For those who want to participate, because you are indicating you want at least another, is it 100,000 to participate in this study?
Yeah, that's right. 100,000 more people.
How do we do it?
It's really simple. If you visit an Intermountain facility, any of our facilities with the laboratory, we have people on site that can send patients so they understand what we're going to be doing and what we're not going to be doing with their information. And then it's a donation of a small amount of blood. And we ship that off to our partners at deCODE for the sequencing. And then we'll return results like we talked about if we find something. Patients can either do that as just part of their normal visits, any of our facilities with a laboratory. They can sign up online.
That's on intramountainhealthcare.org. Okay.
And then the other way to participate is if you have been to a facility for any other procedure and we took any amount of blood, then we will contact you. We will actually, we have a team that will call you and say, hey, you were here, you donated, or you had samples of blood available. Can we use it for this study? So we have it multiple ways to make it as easy as we possibly can for patients to enroll. So yeah, we need as many people that can enroll as possible.
And can you also give us the big picture, Jason, on how long this Heretogene population study will be going on?
Well, we'd like to think it'll go on indefinitely because it's so important. The more information we gather over time associated with these health records is really how we're going to make more discoveries. Right now, though, the target is to finish in the current state of enrollment by the end of 2023. We're looking at extending that into the end of 2024 or 2025. But like I mentioned before, I think what we're going to do at the end of this cycle of testing, then we're going to start to drill down in disease-specific areas.
That's fantastic. And Jason, I want to thank you for allowing me to share a little bit of my personal experience. The other thing I wanted to share is that as an oncology patient, I've heard more and more about a term called precision medicine. And it might not be a term that everyone's familiar with, but the idea of having a good understanding of a disease and how it's affecting a particular patient, and then giving that particular patient the best drilled down treatments or interventions that research has shown will be for that individual patient. So rather than, hey, we're going to give everybody the same treatment, precision is about tailoring the type of treatment we have. And this type of genetic information to me leads to better precision medical treatments in the future for all of us.
That's right. So that's what I actually, my day job is we run a cancer somatic tissue sequencing. So tumors, we sequence those with a smaller panel. So Heretogene uses a whole genome, looks across the entirety of the DNA. We use a test called, we call it Theramap, but it looks at about 550 known pathogenic variants, so known pathogenic mutations within the DNA that when a patient has cancer, then we can target those individual genes with a mutation with targeted treatments. So, you know, DNA is a protein. We can bind drug to attack those individual mutations within a patient's tumor. So that is, it's better outcomes. It's not, you know, one size fits all type of chemotherapies. Patients are responding much, much better to these treatments.
To me, it's an exciting field of study because it means you won't have to go through treatments you don't need, and you will get the best treatment for you as a patient. This is all exciting. It's the Heretogene population study, easy to participate with by simply donating blood at the labs within Intermountain. And this is Jason Gilman. Jason, thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of Utah Weekly Forum.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Utah Weekly Forum is produced by KSFI FM 100.3 in Salt Lake City, a Bonneville International station. Subscribe to the Utah Weekly Forum podcast online and email us at Rebecca@FM100.com.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.